Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
My job is driving me crazy.
Sorry.
Do you hate your job or does your job hate you?
Sorry. Sorry, I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
My career crisis.
Hello and welcome to My Career Crisis. Thank you so much for downloading and hopefully subscribing to our podcast. My name's Ruth Barnes, we have got a fascinating story today. It's one of those stories where sometimes in your life you have to press pause, and in your career, whatever reason that might be, my experience, quite a few times in my life, I've had to quit and start again because my dad, hi dad, would always gave me that advice. He was like, nothing is ever worth, you know, kind of slogging it out doing if you hate it. Just walk away. If you want to walk away, just down tools and walk away. But I'm lucky, I guess, because he's always been there for me in quite a wonderful way. So when I quit my job working for a PR company when I was 22, I think it was, living in London, broke as anything, he drove down to Archway in his station wagon and picked me up and all my vinyl and my record player and just drove me straight home. And I ended up spending a week in bed, and it was wonderful. And sometimes you just need to do those things. I pivoted, to use that that word, and started again. And I think that something similar has happened to our guest today, Annie, who's joining us in the studio. But first, let's say hello to Sue, who is our expert. You called me up on that last time. Do we want to call you something different?
No, I don't mind. Call me Queen of Sheba. I don't mind.
Guidance expert and Queen of Sheba.
But, the reason I sort of challenge expert is, who is an expert? What the hell does that mean? You know, so in my case, what it means is I'm old and I've done a lot of stuff. That's what it means. I've also made loads of mistakes, and I hope I've learned from most of them. And if that makes me an expert, you can call me an expert. But, in terms of have I got qualifications? Well, I've got some, mm-hmm. But going back to what you were saying at the beginning, I think it's really good to focus sometimes on the fact that most things fail. At the beginning, most things fail. And if they didn't fail, we wouldn't get better and better and better. But it's almost like if we fail in anything, it's terminal for us. It knocks so much confidence. I think this is particularly a case with women more. But I think it's really good to sort of see failure as a step towards something else. And I'm sure we can talk about that in more detail.
Well, we had an email from Annie who joins us in the studio. Hello, welcome. Hello. Welcome. I loved your email because you began with, I am in full career crisis mode. And I just thought, right, I'm not going to read the rest of this email. She's coming on. So welcome along. And, you know, I like your story really resonates, I think, because there's quite a few things that we haven't actually touched on yet in this series, which I think are going to resonate with a lot of people. But tell us, first of all, what happened to you at the end of last year.
Oh, crikey. So at the end of last year, I mean, I've been working in sort of, much like you, but you managed to get over at age 22, communications for about the last 15 years. And essentially, my thing has always been writing. I always wanted to be a journalist. I was too terrified to do it because it was too big a thing for me to fail at. So I thought, well, I'm good at writing. This will make me some money. And I kind of went down that road. But throughout the whole of it, I sort of I always felt quite claustrophobic. I always just felt it wasn't quite me, the whole office thing, stupid things like having a certain amount of holiday you're allowed to take a year just drove me insane. And I've sort of carried on and got more and more senior and, you know, you make more money and you sort of think, well, I'm a grown up now, I have a mortgage, I need to do this. And then at the end of last year, a series of things happened to me, but basically everything just went wrong. And I was doing about five people's jobs at work and essentially I just keeled over and couldn't stop crying and eventually got signed off work. And it was sort of, it was almost as if I'd sort of been ignoring the signs all along and then the universe had gone, do you know what? We're just going to screw everything up for you and see what you do with it. So I took a bit of time out and I went away. And I sort of reassessed everything. And it's funny, when you take a step back, you sort of go, oh, shit, this isn't right at all. What have I been doing with my life? Hence my email to you in that I am sort of in, I've kind of got a vague plan of next steps, but it's still very much crisis mode.
How much does that resonate with you, Sue, in terms of stories that you hear from people? I mean, they're not stories, there's people's lives, but this idea that I think what Annie said there right at the beginning about always wanting to be a journalist, but it was too big an ambition to have, too big a goal to have to allow it to fail. This idea that you're going to fail at it before you've even done it. Mm.
But you also said another interesting thing, because you said, I really want to write. Do you think that being a journalist does that for you?
I see the challenge in your question. To a certain extent, yes. I mean, I want to write as myself. I mean, I write a lot for other people anyway. The career I've chosen so far, I'm writing all the time. And I've had a lot of things published, but never under my name.
Why?
That sounds massively egotistical.
No,
No, it doesn't. Why was they not under your name?
Because my job as a PR person is always to sort of write press releases or articles or op-ed pieces or speeches, which are always for somebody else to give. That's the job. It's right. To make somebody else look good.
Interestingly, I started off as a journalist. Mm. I worked as a journalist for quite a long time. And it's very surprising to me that you say it's too big a thing to fail at because it's just a job. Mm. And actually, unless you're, you know, writing your own column or you're writing opinion pieces, most of journalism is about just trying to find out facts and regurgitating them, you know, or picking up on press releases like you send and making a story out of them. But it sounds like you've really inflated this idea of journalist in your head and made it this sort of thing that you can't even attack. So what was behind that comment, you know, it was too big for me to fail at? What did that mean?
So that's something I've kind of realised, I suppose, slightly with hindsight. There's always been something in me that's made me feel like I can't do it. And maybe you're right. Maybe the word journalist is the wrong word. It's to write for a living in some way, shape or form. But I've always shied away from it just because I thought, I don't know, I just wouldn't be good enough. And then the older I've got and the more I've thought about it, and I've done various comms jobs in news organisations. I've worked at some big newspapers. I've worked at some big news agencies. So I've always sort of surrounded myself with the people that do that. But to answer your question, I don't fully know.
I think what Sue's getting at here and what I'm hearing as well is, what is it that you want to write that is that does have your name underneath it? Is it your take on the news? Is it writing like I've done for a long time about new music? That's all I did for ages, which, yes, it, in some ways it was my opinion, but in other ways it was just me giving a platform to bands that I believed in. Or is it writing a book? I mean, we've all apparently got a book in us. What is it? This idea of wanting to write is such a big idea. What is it that you want to write?
So, again, that's something I've been thinking about a lot recently because, you know, the first thing anyone says to you when you say you want to write is, right, you need to start a blog. Mm. And I write every day. I have all sorts of things knocking around, but there isn't a thing. Mm. And that's why I haven't started my blog, because I can't bloody decide what it should be about. But no, it's not necessarily news. It's definitely not fiction. I'm terrible at writing fiction, so I don't think it's a book necessarily. But For example, I went to, I've got quite into yoga in the last 6 months. I've become a sort of slight raving wannabe hippie. And I went to a very strange, I had a very strange experience last week. I went to a transformational breathing workshop.
Excellent.
Which is hands down the weirdest bloody thing I've ever done in my life. But all the way through, oh God. So essentially, you're lying on your back in a room full of about 40 other people. You have sort of the severed head of a bottle of water in your mouth to keep your mouth open. And essentially it's a breathing technique. And the idea is that we sort of store a lot of trauma and things in our bodies. And so a lot of stuff that you're not even consciously aware of, you're holding on to. And it's a technique to sort of let that go. But honestly, it was... I can't even describe it. There were sort of grown men sobbing to one side of me. There's sort of somebody shrieking over here. It's just, and you're lying there with a bottle in your mouth going, what the hell am I doing? And, you know, weird things like that I like writing about because it makes me laugh. I went on a yoga retreat the week before. I wrote a review of that for a online fitness travel website thing.
Okay, so well, this is getting closer. This is actually...
Stuff that I do and stuff that I experience.
Well, I mean, yoga was a big part of what happened at the end of last year, wasn't it? Because the trip that you mentioned was a trip to Mexico where you went on a yoga retreat and you had a transformative experience with Drew Barrymore. I think we had to just throw that in there.
Yeah, and I think we need to know what that is.
I think we need to know what that was well. So tell us a bit more about that.
So I got signed off work and I was sitting in my flat sort of on my own, basically unable to function. And I just thought, I'm never going to feel better if I just sit here on my own and I don't do anything differently. And I had a very strong feeling that I needed to get away. I needed to certainly leave London. I probably needed to leave the country, which I felt incredibly guilty about because, you know, I'd been signed off work and was technically ill. And I sort of thought, well, I can't go on a lovely jaunt because that'll look awful. But I went to talk to my doctor and he said, actually, I think something like that would be good. So go forth with my blessing. And I'd done a couple of kind of yogi retreat things before and just found them psychologically very helpful because you take a lot of time out and you sit with all the shit in your head and you kind of can't help but deal with it. Anyway, very long story short, I ended up in Tulum in Mexico, which is a very sort of, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a beautiful place and it's a very sort of posh hippie hangout. So I did a yoga retreat there and just met some incredible people and lots of like-minded, wonderful souls and talked about a lot of this stuff. And one of the people on this retreat happened to be Drew Barrymore. and I sort of had this strange day when we went to, they have these cenotes in Mexico, which is sort of these beautiful underground freshwater sort of cave systems, and they open up into beautiful lakes here and there. And we went to one of these lakes one day, and I'm terrified of heights and I'm not a terribly good swimmer. So for me, jumping into a body of water is pretty much one of the scariest things I can do, which I know sounds pathetic, but for me, huge deal. And there was a platform that was probably about 5 meters above this lake, and a few people were sort of jumping into it, and I went up to take a photo, and sort of somebody said, oh, jump in. I was like, you've got to be shitting me. There is absolutely no way that's going to happen. Anyway, then Drew Barrymore turned up, and she told me to jump in. And when Drew Barrymore tells you to do something, you kind of feel like maybe you should do it. So I manned up and screamed and shouted and made a huge fuss out of it. But I bloody did it. And do you know what? As small a thing as it seems, I felt like Beyonce after that. I felt I could do anything. And just it really made me understand that, you know, people talk about, ooh, do something every day that scares you. But you know what? It bloody works.
Can I just make an observation? You are so hard on yourself. If I, you know, the words that you're using to describe, and you keep undercutting yourself all the time, you'll say something and you'll say, I know that sounds pathetic. I know that doesn't sound very much. Will you just stop doing that, please? It's just because this is the narrative that you're keeping telling yourself that, you know, you're not as good as this. I mean, you look fabulous. You've had, no, I know it's not a career that's made you happy, but actually when you say there are, you know, people wanting to write, you are doing a career that a lot of other people might want to do and you're actually successful at it. Comms is not easy and it's quite competitive. And you've succeeded in that. Now, I know it's not something that you particularly wanted to succeed in, but it's almost like that doesn't matter. That doesn't, you know, and I, again, I think this is quite a female characteristic. Mm. I was doing some CV work with somebody recently, and when I looked at the CV, it was really not very good. But as we're talking, so many different things came out, and I kept saying, why isn't that in the CV? And it's almost like, well, I can do that. So why would you need to put that down? Because other people don't know that you can do that. And I don't know where it's come from, but you have, you've got this now shtick, which you do, which is that you're putting yourself down all the time. And the things that you have achieved, you're a published writer. But it's like it's nothing. You know, how many other people would like to be published? You've actually done that. But it's so what does this is a question I often ask. What does success look like? Mm. What would that be for you?
So for me, so my sort of my next steps that I am doing is I've decided to I need to keep carrying on doing the comms work to make money because I have a mortgage and I need to eat. So I'm starting doing contract work. So I have a short-term contract which starts at the end of July, which I'll be doing 4 days a week. And what I want to do with that sort of extra day a week or 2 days or whatever I can make it is find a way to be able to make some money from writing and keep those two running in parallel. And eventually, to answer your question, success looks like not having to do the comms stuff and just writing for a living. But that's where I struggle because I don't know how to make that happen.
Well, no, it's going to be a work in progress.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's interesting in light of events that have happened recently in terms of things like terrorist attacks and things like that. People seem to be saying, when you hear the discussion and the noise around these things, that they want to live in a life where there's no risk. You know, what? For me, I'm more surprised that more people don't die. And when you actually think about people dying in something like a terrorist attack in Europe, I'm not talking about the Middle East now, but in Europe, where, say, 20 people die, which is horrendous. It's horrendous. But the chances of you dying on the motorway are much, much higher. And isn't it? And what you're saying is, you know, it's a, you're a bit risk averse. You've taken such a huge step because what you've done is, which I think is a brilliant idea, you've taken a contract. Because psychologically what that does for you is to say, I've only got to do it for a set amount of time. It's not for the rest of my life. So I think that will really, really help you. And you're only doing 4 days a week, which I find people generally who work 4 days a week are much happier than people who work full time.
That's interesting.
So you've got mind space to try and think about what you can do and actually do it. And I think another problem that gets in people's ways is that they think too much about stuff instead of just doing. You know, when people say to me, I've got writer's block, why don't you just write? Why don't you just write gibberish? It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be perfectly formed. Just get it out there. You can edit it later. But it's the starting, it's the first line, isn't it, that's so important. And you've made so many life changes that are so positive. It's wonderful.
Yeah, thank especially you. Since in your email to us, you said that you felt part of what happened at the end of last year is because you had massive imposter syndrome, which is something we haven't talked about on this podcast before, which I think is nuts because I know a lot of women, especially, who seem to have imposter syndrome. This idea that, like, yeah, I'm doing it, but I don't know why. And somebody's going to pull up a veil one of these days and they're all going to see me naked and I'll get fired, you know, and it's literally that kind of mentality. Sue, is it? It's quite, I mean, according to Wikipedia, it is particularly common amongst high achieving women.
Why I think that? It's also very good to actually know that there's a recognised syndrome. And I found out about that, it made me feel so much better. You know, I think it doesn't matter who you are, how sophisticated you are, how successful you are. There are going to be those moments when you feel like the little girl with her skirt caught in her knickers in the playground, you know, and I think it comes to us all. Some people, it comes to them more than others. But it's really interesting, this idea. So to say that you're an imposter means that there's some kind of like perfect paragon that you're trying to be, right? We don't say to babies who are learning to walk, you're an imposter because you keep falling over. They get up and they do it and they get better and then they become a walker. You know, that's quite a simplistic example, but it's, you know, so while we're struggling to be a writer or something, and sometimes we get it wrong and sometimes we fail, why are we then saying, oh, that makes me an imposter? Mm-hmm. You know, and what is a fully fledged person who's not an imposter like? Because I can't imagine what that might be like. And I think it's, but if you're going back to what I, the observation that I made about Annie, about this constantly undermining yourself, I think that feeds into imposter syndrome. Mm. I mean, a simple example, I was working with somebody who, she was a television producer, and she had three researchers working for her, one of whom I felt was the best researcher I'd ever worked with. The other two were very good as well, but a job was coming up as a promotion. And I said to this producer, will you be seeing all three of these for the job? And she said, well, these two, maybe not her, the one that I thought was the best. And the reason she wasn't going to see her, because all the time she undermined herself. So we'd be in a meeting and she'd start off the sentence with, this might be a bit of a stupid idea, but, and I think, well, why are you saying it then if it's stupid? You don't really believe that for a minute. Mm. She even said, how I never strangled her, I don't know. I'm having a blonde moment. You know.
What is that? Yeah.
It means I'm not a threat. Mm. I'm not a challenge. Mm. So you can completely ignore what I'm saying if you want to.
That's right.
Well, then why go in the room? Why speak at all? You know, we get things wrong. I don't know people who don't get things wrong. So why don't we just see that as something that we do rather than something that's terrible?
My career crisis. My career crisis.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I want to ask Annie to consider someone who's emailed in with a question, and maybe you've got some advice for them, because you're someone who's spent a lot of time thinking about life.
Way too much time.
Stuff. Let's see if you've got any wisdom for Daphne in St. Leonard's, who says, help, I just had a very important breakfast meeting and I don't know whether it was because it was early morning or whether I just got it totally wrong. But I made a bit of a fool out of myself and said two things that I really regret. I was tired, having not slept much. We've all been there. And I was a bit shit, frankly. And I know that there's nothing I can do about it now. I almost wish I was less self-aware so that I could ignore the stupid things I said. That resonates, I think, doesn't it? That kind of idea of instant regret after something and then it hounding you instead of just letting it go.
Absolutely. And I know that if she's anything like me, she will be playing that conversation back to herself for days and days and days. I've done that many times before. In fact, in my most recent job, I'd actually find myself emailing people afterwards. And you'll probably want to punch me in the face when I say this, but I'd sort of email them going, I'm so terribly sorry. I did this thing and it was awful. So I think the only advice I can give, and I need to take this myself, frankly, is just give yourself a break. Mm. And also understand that most people are not thinking about you. Most people do not spend their whole time obsessing about you and what you've done. We're all caught up in our own thing. Whoever you were having the breakfast meeting with was probably thinking about, I don't know, what they did the night before or what stupid thing they said or the fact that they had a bit of bacon sticking out the side of their mouth. So just cut yourself some slack.
And we need to just own it, don't we? The Americans are so right, the Americans as a group.
Bless the Americans.
Own it. Just own it. Own your behaviour, I suppose. What do you say,
But the thing is, it's done. It's gone. Yeah. You've done it. Whatever it is you've done, you've done. I think it's worth always thinking about something once. My problem is I never think enough, so I have to force myself to think, oh, you screwed that one up. And then why did I screw it up? Well, because I was knackered. Well, what does that tell me then? Maybe I need not to have breakfast meetings or, you know, think about it before I go to have a decent night's sleep, whatever. So I think it's always worth revisiting something once and then only if you think you're going to do something different. But what I would also say, what are the consequences? If the consequences are dire, then I would do something. I would maybe ring them up and say, I think we got off on the wrong foot this morning. I don't think it was firing on all cylinders. I'd love to see you again. They may not agree, which is fair enough. Mm. But so, and I've tried to do something to put it right. But basically what's done is done. And you thinking over and over and over again is not going to make it any better. It's only going to make it worse. Not only that, it might make you more fearful for the future as well and make you really self-conscious about what you're saying. So there's absolutely no point.
Annie, there's two things that you've said to me that make, well, said to us today, that make me quite excited about you starting this new contract job. So the first thing is that it's 4 days a week, which is something that Sue's jumped on as well. I think that's great. I'm excited for you because I have a lot of creative friends who work 4 days a week in jobs that are a bit meh, but on day five and maybe, you know, half of the weekend as well, they just do the creative job. They do the job that they enjoy. But that doesn't always make them money. And I think that there's a couple of key things that you could do. You've also mentioned the interest in yoga and in these, what was it, transcendental breathing, transitional breathing.
Transformational,
of course. You know, but also writing about them with a bit of a wry take, which I love. Mm. Maybe there's a way you can combine those two things. If you're happy to work for nothing, I mean, I think that's going to be the key, is maybe interning at a publication that you really like, that might, you've said you've already written for somebody about the yoga retreat. Maybe there's a way of you know, bringing that into day five, that Friday or whichever day it is, that you just go and you hang about in an office all day.
I'd love to do
that. You know, and I think that you're at that point in your life where you have got that humility where you'll just say, sure, I'll come and sit and make the tea and I just want to watch you guys. I want to come to your editorial meeting. You know, I might have some ideas I want to pitch you, because I feel like that the advice to just start a blog is really terrifying, and just putting something out there in the ether when you don't have a direct editorial idea or something burning inside you that you want to say, that's terrifying. You're never going to do that. Mm. I say don't do the blog.
Yes.
You know, really just set yourself free from that, because that's daunting and actually quite hellish. Even just setting up the bloody thing, nightmare. Mm. Don't, forget it. Don't do it. Like, focus somewhere else. A positive experience, I think, of people who are going to support you, you know, and are already kind of doing what it is you want to do.
Mm.
Whether that leads to paid work, I don't know. But I don't think it's about that for you at the moment. It's about exercising that muscle that needs to be exercised and seeing where it leads.
I think what's so heartening as well, because of freelancing or contract work doesn't suit everybody. But what I think is so good about this is, instead of being, I think one of the reasons why you got so wound up before was because you had this contract of employment with an employer. And psychologically, they sort of own you. Do you know what I mean? But what you're saying is, no, you don't own me. I'm going to come and work for you for 4 days a week on my terms. And it's going to come to an end. And then I might go and work for somebody else, or I might not. I'll take a view. But it's very empowering. What seems really key to me was, you have been so hard on yourself that it's surprising that what happened last year didn't happen before. Because you're just putting so much pressure on yourself to be high achieving, to be perfect. And you're saying maybe this was about the fact that I didn't follow my dream of going to journalism. I think it's more about you being really, really hard on yourself. There's a simple trick, which I've used with my daughter since she was tiny, but it's about keeping a record of stuff that you're good at. And you get a book and you're not allowed to write anything in it that's not positive. So you have... you meet Drew Barrymore, you just write a couple of paragraphs about it, but what positive experience it was, how you felt really good, you jumped into that lake. But it could also be you had a really interesting discussion with somebody on a bus, or you've managed to get yourself a contract for 4 days a week. You know, just write it full of positive stuff. And then when you're really feeling like shit, you can just go and read it and think, I am not that bad, really. Because none of us is really that bad.
How can other people look out for the signs of a crisis of confidence. I might ask Annie first. What was it the first thing that made you think, hang on, something big is going on here?
So I think there'd always been actually something bubbling away. So Sue, to your point, I think things did happen earlier on and I just changed jobs instead of sort of actually analysing and assessing, because I was always thinking, oh, well, if I can get this job, then everything will be fine. And of course, life doesn't work like that. But I think, well, I think the classic was when I found myself crying in the loos quite a lot and sort of thinking, I'm sure this is totally normal. And it's amazing what you can justify to yourself when you're in that zone, and you'll make up any excuse. You'll go, oh, well, it's because I'm tired, or, you know, well, I'm covering for these people who've left in my team and I haven't been able to replace them, so it's all going to be fine. Weeping generally, not great. And just also I found I wasn't enjoying weekends. So even my time when I wasn't at work, I was just miserable.
Interesting.
All the time. Those are two classic signs, I think.
I mean, I think if you're getting bad-tempered more than you usually are, we've spoken before about, you know, Sunday night thinking, oh, my God, I've got to go into work tomorrow. That is not good. I've done my fair share of crying in toilets. And actually blamed the job for that. But I think it was more about me. And remember, you can't change other people. You can only change yourself. The going to another job, I think, is very interesting, because you think to yourself, oh, I can reinvent myself and everything will be new if people don't know me. But you forget that you're taking this sort of invisible suitcase of crap around with you the whole time. You know, I was working with somebody who was having terrible trouble with their boss, and we were doing some coaching, and she said, I think it's probably best, because it's reached such a state now, I'll just leave and I'll go somewhere else. And I go, I wouldn't stop you doing that if that's what you want to do, but do you think in the new job that there won't be somebody like your boss in that new job? And all you're doing is delaying the inevitable. You have really got to get to grips with why this situation is happening and why I'm responding in the way I am. It's you that you need to do the work on. You can't work on other people.
That's a really good advice about, you know, not fleeing people, because people are the same everywhere you go in every organisation, and there's always one, and they haunt you and they come in different shapes and sizes. And actually learning actually just how to deal with them, I think, is the key. And that's about reflecting on yourself, isn't it?
The time when I finally realised that I had to do something about myself, I was a journalist and I worked in a newsroom. And it was in the early 80s, because I'm very old. And
When people still got drunk and then wrote the 6 o'clock
news? Oh, yes, it was. And not only that, I was the only woman in that newsroom.
Oof,
wow.
You know, yeah, which tough. What happened was that I remember sometimes we were having I was just working and somebody was having a discussion about a Miss Sweat T-shirt competition. Yeah, you can tell what age we're in. And my initial thought was, firstly, this is bad radio. And secondly, you know, why should we be putting stuff like that on the air? But I didn't want to have another row, because I was always rowing. So I tried to make myself look as small as possible, but inevitably one of them said to me, oh, you're on a late shift tomorrow. Do you think you could cover this? And I just lost it. You know, I went into full rant. And then I realised that they were laughing at me because they'd made it up.
Oh, no.
And so I went to the toilets and had a cry. I spent quite a lot of time in that toilet at the time. And I remember that night I was going out with a friend of mine for a drink. And she listened to me ranting on about this, because I was obviously quite upset. And she said to me, I've started doing assertiveness training, she said, and I really think you would benefit from it. And I was aghast at this, because I said, me? You must be joking. You know, no, nobody needs to tell me how to do things. And she said, if you don't mind me saying, I think sometimes you can be quite aggressive. So, and this doesn't put any good light on me, but I went mainly to prove her wrong. And I remember really distinctly the woman training on this course said to me, do you see yourself as a powerful woman? And I said, obviously, modestly, I like to think so. Mm. And she said, because I don't.
Ooh.
And it really brought me up short. And I said, why not? And she said, it's like you've got a jacket on with a button on it, which says, if you want to wind her up, push this. And I'd never thought about it like that. And that's when I started thinking, I've got to do something about myself, because obviously I'm a liability. So that's why it makes me laugh when you call me an expert. I just think it's so funny.
You're just someone who's been there.
Yeah,
you've
done
been
that.
There
yeah,
and
yeah.
you've done it. Well, Annie, you know, good luck with the new contract. And how are you feeling about it? You seem to be in quite a positive headspace.
No, I'm shitting myself.
Excellent. Good.
Absolutely shitting myself. I think it's actually been an interesting process because I originally went for a sort of permanent full-time job. And I was going through the interview process as I was kind of figuring stuff out. And then I don't know how, but finally found the balls to go, actually, do you know what? I don't want to do this. And it was extraordinary. When I did that, they turned around and said, oh, well, that's not necessarily a deal breaker for us.
Uh-huh.
Can we talk about this? Mm. And so I think because my new boss, I haven't been totally open, you know, I haven't used the word breakdown. And also it was extraordinary just going into those interviews, not really giving a shit.
Yes.
I was able to just say what I thought and not obsess and worry and be terribly anxious that I said the wrong thing.
And what does that tell you? That you were totally honest and you were given the job anyway, so you're not that bad, are you? I mean, you would be mad if you weren't a bit nervous about going in. It's a new situation, right? Mm. But there's no need to be any more than a bit nervous. And the first couple of days will be awkward because you'll feel like the new girl at school.
Yeah.
But it's fine. They obviously really want you because they've allowed you to do 4 days a week. You're going in this time in a completely different frame of mind and also on your terms. So I think that should really make you feel more powerful.
Mm. I agree. I think the fact that you told them what you want and you've got it, or you said, actually, I don't want this, and they went, oh, okay. Mm. That's got to be a big signifier to you that it's worth just actually being completely honest with how you're feeling. And often people will come back and go, okay, all right,
then. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? Exactly. They say no. Mm. Well, nobody's going to die if they say no.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story. What's your big takeaway then from today, do you think?
I think, you know, Sue, you absolutely hit the nail on the head with the confidence issue. And that's something that I've known about, but actually just having somebody quite bluntly say it to me has
Sorry about that.
No. It's great. I love it. You know, so often in these situations, people just sort of say vague platitudes. And I'm gonna take that and I'm going to own it and I'm going to not be like poor Daphne.
Poor Daphne. Poor Daphne.
I mean, a simple thing. Even if inside you're feeling a bit fraudulent, it's about not saying things like, this is pathetic, I'm rubbish at this. And if you don't say it, people will view you in a different way and eventually your confidence will grow. But that's the first little trick you have to try and stop doing.
It's removing, I feel like with you, because I do it, but with other kind of words, is you fill in gaps using that kind of language. Mm. As you're talking and as you're thinking, you fill in the gap going, but I mean, I'm just a bit crap, ha, 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 ha. And then you come out with something that's not crap at all. And I do it using different kind of words. So it's about almost learning how to reprogram how you speak to people.
Yeah.
And actually, when you feel that sentence coming out, just shut your mouth.
Yeah.
You might look a bit weird for a while, but just shut your mouth and then say the sentence that actually, you know, has meaning and is a good sentence. Don't say the thing about, you know, not
being shit.
Yeah. Don't say the thing about being shit. Just shut up. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on to the programme. And if you would like to join us and come and have some blunt advice from Sue, then do get in touch at My Career Crisis is where we are on Twitter. And do find us, rate and review us on iTunes. This has been My Career Crisis. We're back next week with another one.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.